This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon as we cover lots of different topics on the program. And today, Republican candidate for Congress, Ibra Tahir. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So you recently announced your candidacy. I guess we'd start out maybe talk about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think I have to start with the specific thing that is related to politics. I'm a father of three. We're expecting to have the fourth one next month or maybe in January. I've been married for about 16 years right now. So that tells you like how I started my life really earlier. I went to college as a philosophy student. I have my degrees, both of them in philosophy. Other than that, with personal life, I don't think that there's much that matters unless you want to ask about it. But I've been involved in politics since at least 2018, like actively in politics. And what I saw during that time, that there's a need for philosophers. This is why I got involved, because many people, I mean, when they talk about public policy, if they scratch the surface, they cannot see any kind of argument. And this is, I'm talking about the entire country. I'm not talking about a specific political party. And that, I mean, not having the core issues presented to us and discussed, it really harmed the country. We should talk about the founding fathers. Many of them were philosophers, the pioneers in their area of study and knowledge. This is how they came up with this great country. Right now, we don't have that. We have politics, but it doesn't sit on ground that is principled in some sort of philosophy. This is why I really thought that politics now needs to go back to that direction, and this is what got me involved in it.
So you feel like there's a need for a lot more depth in coming to positions then?
Yeah, that is correct. This country was founded on one principle, if I can reduce all of the principles to it, which is the principle of liberty. And now when we talk about the principle of liberty, when we talk about the voluntary action of people and how we view the government only gotten bigger ever since the founding of this country. And this is the opposition, what we want to see from a liberty-minded country that is founded on the principle of liberty, and that cost us a lot of things. Our civil liberties, many people don't realize that are not the same in 1776. And this is what we need to go back to it. Otherwise, we're going to live in tyrannical government, and this is what we don't want to see.
So how did you get interested in seeking political office?
When I started looking at the political atmosphere, let's call it that way, that kind of word, what I saw that the majority of politicians actually, they don't know what they're talking about most of the time. And this goes to candidates too. So I've been running. This is the third time I'm running for an office, and the first two times, I can tell you with authority here, 99% of the candidates, they don't know about the issues that they're talking about. For example, last time it was the inflation issue, and everyone was talking about the inflation and we need to combat the inflation, but if you ask them how to do it, there's no answer. When we talk about wars, for example, we're talking about sending the military to do a military action overseas. Does that contradict the Constitution or not? Many people did not know about it. So I thought we should do something about it, and taking action, part of it is being a candidate. Other than that, I have a political organization that I have founded or working with right now that seeks to accomplish the same thing.
What are some of the core values that really guide your reason for being involved in this?
I mentioned that the core value would be the cause of liberty. When we talk about the cause of liberty, it's not just about civil liberties. Mistakenly, many people think it's about civil liberties, but there is a voluntarism aspect to it, which means that when we talk about the economy, we need to see that kind of voluntary action from the people. If the economy is controlled by the government, then that concept of voluntary action is missing, which means a lot of harm and repression can happen because of it. When we talk about building codes, when we talk about small business regulation, all of these things, they violate our liberties. This is one aspect. So there's an economic aspect to it. There's a civil rights aspect to it. Now, right now, when we talk about our freedom of speech, for example, many people talk about it, but they don't realize that many people are being prosecuted because they said something. Or maybe what we saw during COVID, all of that kind of freedom to move and inside the country, to simple peacefully, they were attacked, and there's no accountability that happened because of it. So we're talking about violations, constitutional violation that were accepted by the people. I mean, these kind of the acceptance from the people means we're not aware of the principles that have been violated by them. And when you talk about the monetary system, for example, the monetary system, we're talking about the money. All of that money that makes life, our lives possible. We cannot go on our life without having a currency to exchange, to buy a house, to pay a rent, to have a car. All of that is controlled now by a private banking system that's called the Federal Reserve, and people don't know that, which really violates Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution since 1913. The most important thing about the Federal Reserve is they can devaluate the currency, which means the dollars that you have right now in a year would worth less. So that kind of concept that the fruit of your labor now can be devaluated without your consent, without your input, is not acceptable, but the people accept that because they're not being told about it. So this is basically some principles, all of them related to the cause of liberty.
Your website talks about divisiveness in America right now. Address that.
Yeah, so the divisiveness in the state, not only here, we can see it worldwide, and this is a product of politics. You know, politicians, if they need to win a seat, one of the ways that they can do that is to crystallize some concepts. And sometimes when they do that, they ensue divisiveness in the people. When we talk about, for example, the issue of COVID, many people wanted to implement some measures on the people without their consent. The discussion to have it was not present at that time. There was no discussion about it. So instead of having that kind of discussion, people would say, this guy is anti-science and this guy is anti-freedom, without having that kind of discussion to make the people be aware of it. And what they mean when they say these sort of slogans and these just pitching their positions like that, it's not to make a difference. It's just to win a seat by telling the people that we have that kind of position. And once they do that, without that kind of hyperbolic sentiment, most of the people would not get around them and rally around them. And this is what they do. I mean, politicians use that kind of technique all the time. So the missing aspect here is the discussion to make people be aware of it. And this is what I meant by my statement on the website.
Ibra Tahir, candidate for Congress. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4. Tomorrow we talk with Brian Burke of the North Douglas Fire and EMS District about some things going on in that district. Ibra Tahir, Republican candidate for Congress, in studio today, running through some of his thoughts. You mentioned the Federal Reserve. Talk about your thoughts about U.S. foreign policy.
So the U.S. foreign policy, unfortunately, departed from the vision of the Founding Fathers. Thomas Jefferson, in his inaugural speech, the statement that he made was very clear. He said, entangling alliances with none. What he meant is what we saw from the European countries, from the British Empire, all of these alliances that leased the country to a path that would harm the country without any benefit for the people. They were very adamant in opposition to that kind of philosophy, and this is even, sometimes they call it the Washington Doctrine, that we don't have entangled alliances, we don't have an empire. What we care about is defending the country. Unfortunately, this kind of philosophy was very quickly abandoned, even from the earlier days of the founding of this country. We've been involved in wars ever since we established this country, actually. Probably some people would say, when they look at these wars that we've been involved in, that the country hasn't been in war, has not been away from wars for more than a month in the history of this country. This is a staggering thing. And when we look at these wars, we ask this question, how many of these wars actually were about defending the homeland that we have? The answer usually is none. Most of these wars are interventionist in nature. About building nation, about acquiring some sort of a global power. It's about economic power too. Many people probably know that we don't have any gold back in the currency, thanks to Nixon in 1971. What he did instead, he cut a deal with the Saudis in 1973 to tell them that they not going to be allowed to transact for anything related to the oil industry, except with the dollar. This is the concept of the petrodollar. And we've been involved in wars just to maintain that kind of status, because the currency would be destroyed without that kind of petrodollar status. So this is what we are seeing right now. We don't have defensive wars. We have interventionist wars. And on top of that, most of the wars since World War II are in violation of the Constitution. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution states very clearly that only Congress can declare war. We have more than 30 wars right now going on, overt and covert wars. Seven of them were very overt wars. But none of them were by declaration of the Congress. It means it violates the Constitution, but we don't hear too many people talking about violating the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Nobody cares about it. In addition to Article 6 of the Constitution, that states very clearly that all of the treaties that we've signed must be respected, and must be treated as the supreme law of the land, which means the UN Charter that we authored as a country now is being violated. So we have two constitutional violations. On top of that, when we talk about the harms that come from wars, so we talk about the economy, the largest spending that we do in the discretionary budget was the military. We have 800 military bases around the world. We spend trillions on these military forces. For example, since the Iraq War in 2003 till today, we spend about $7 trillion on wars that has nothing to do with our safety and security here at home. And what it did, it created just destruction. In Iraq, 1 million Iraqi was died. More than 5,000 of US troops died. And the tragic part of it, because of the horror of wars that our troops are witnessing, we have now the highest suicide rate of any category is within the military force. 24 service members every day take their own life because of wars. And all of that, again, we ask this question, what are these wars about? They're not about our safety. They're not about our security. Politicians love wars because they keep the economy on the top, working very hard. You can look at this stock market and see all of these weapon manufacturers, how much they gain from wars. After every declaration of war, their stocks skyrocket.
We've got about a minute and a half left. Let's jump through some things real quick. What are there particular committees that you would like to serve on if you get elected to Congress?
So the Appropriation Committee is very, very powerful. I think we need to talk about it. We need to be involved in it. Foreign Affairs is very, very interesting one. And also the financial one, especially with the subcommittee about the financial, the monetary aspect of it, which Ron Paul was chairing at the end of his career.
Now, what's been the reaction to your candidacy so far?
So far, there's a mixed baggage here, some rejection, some acceptance and support, but still too early. We'll see.
And if people want to find out more about you and connect with your campaign, talk about your website real quick.
So my website is unique in nature. I have my philosophy section in it, so people don't need to just wonder what he's going to say about a specific issue, even if it's new to it. They can go to the philosophy section and learn about all of the principles that would guide me when I talk about public policy. This is very important, and they should not forget to subscribe to our newsletter because we send a lot of nice things.
And what's the website address?
So it is my full name, my legal name, ibrahimtahir.com. And they can find me on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, thanks for coming in. 1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.